Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day. But we start this program today.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
With two words.
Back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Juan Soto is your 2022 Home Run Derby champion.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Clayton Kershaw starting the All-Star game.
I'm just so excited I get to do it here at Dodger Stadium.
Today's guests, ESPN baseball host Carl Ravitch, Sydney and Taylor Scott, actor Justin Hartley, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Can confirm, sources say, and now you can all see on Peacock, it is me. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show here in Los Angeles, California, home of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight in Chavez Ravine, California, Los Angeles, California, Dodger Stadium, where it will be 1 billion degrees tonight.
Start driving now.
at any rate, good stuff. Good stuff last night in the Home Run Derby. We're going to talk about it today with the man who called it last night and the worldwide leader in sports. Carl Ravitch will be on this program, my longtime friend from back in the day. And boy, back in the day is the phrase that pays today, because today would have been, I hate saying those words, Stuart Scott's 57th birthday today, and in his honor, two of his most prideful and joyful people on planet Earth, his daughters, Sydney and Taylor Scott, will join me here in studio, and we're going to have some ice cream in his honor and just stroll down memory lane. That's going to be an hour number two, a special day, to say the least, no doubt. And we'd love to have you part of it at 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this program. Justin Hartley from that hilarious show, This Is Us, on NBC. I'm sorry. It's the exact opposite. He's coming in here once again. We haven't seen him in a long time. This Is Us, as you know, is all wrapped up and done. He's got a new drink that he wants to tell us all about. He's got some spirits. So this is a very spirited day here on this program. He will join us in hour number three in studio. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Rich.
How are you?
Hey, man, what's happening?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you over there. By the way, I'm getting that out of the way before Stuart's daughters come in here today.
Thank you, Rich.
Clean up your workspaces. We got to put our best foot forward. TJ Jefferson, you've already lit the candle. Good to see you over there, sir.
I mean, having his daughters in today, this is going to be really special today, man. And I know for like a month you've been working on making this happen, so this is going to be exciting.
I'm glad that you feel that way, because I feel the same way, too. I haven't seen his beautiful daughters since they were babies, literally. Wow. It'll be great to have them here in studio. And that, again, it'll be an hour number two. It'll be very special. We hope you do tune in here on this day, where yet more NFL training camps for rookies open up. College football is beginning to ramp up as well. It's the SEC Media Day. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, spoke yesterday. Nick Saban, speaking of D's Nuts, is speaking right now. He's joining the fray.
Love it.
We'll see Jimbo Fisher, and then in between them will be sliced bread. That's a little bloggers reference for those out there who may recall. We'll keep an eye on all of that. College football starting up. It's
like
exciting.
So soon. Like,
it's right around the corner.
It seems like it's 6 weeks away.
It's right around the corner.
Awesome.
Right around the corner. Like I said, we're keeping an eye on all of this. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We say hello to our Peacock viewers. We say hello to our NBC Sports, Sirius XM Channel 85, NBC Sports Audio listeners, the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, coast to coast, 49 affiliates strong. We're coming close to the big 5-0.
Love it.
Odyssey app listeners and our YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show subscribers. Catch up on anything that you miss, and we say a special hello to our podcast listeners getting this show on our podcast Network, Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts are available.
What's up, podcast people?
What's up, podcast people? So, what a fun home run derby last night, right? I mean,
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I offer my kudos to those players who said, you know what? It's going to be 100 million degrees, and I'm going to put on my uniform, and I'm going to go try and yank some baseballs out of Dodger Stadium. And if you're Pete Alonso, you're going to start, you know, I guess, lifting weights in between at-bats. Did you see some of that last night?
There
he is in his full Met uniform, and he's
incredible.
He's squatting. He's swinging and squatting. And it was just a great mix of young and old. I mean, you've got Albert Pujols there last night, kind of like it was kind of like his daughter's wedding, and everybody's kind of going in and asking him for favors in the middle of the wedding. You know, that's what it was kind of like. The only thing that was missing was him, you know, petting a cat while talking to the Undertaker, looking for revenge. You know, I mean, he was the Godfather. This is essentially what I'm saying last night. And I just loved how when he was done with his at-bat, everybody came out and surrounded him and gave him some love. And the only – I'm getting goosebumps talking about this. It reminded me, and it's obviously different, but this is what it reminded me of. When Ted Williams threw out the ceremonial first pitch of the 1999 All-Star Game in Fenway Park the night of – the all-century team being introduced, Kevin Costner emceeing. I was hosting the ESPN radio coverage standing behind Carlton Fisk, who was receiving the first pitch from Ted Williams. And I was standing there with a microphone with goosebumps on my arms. And as soon as Ted Williams was done throwing that first pitch, every single human being that was introduced from the all-century all-time team and the current all-stars that were all lined up there in a constellation of a diamond around Ted Williams, they just converged on Ted. And I remember the public address announcer in Fenway Park essentially saying after 2 minutes, you know, can we clear the field? Gotta play the game. And that's what last night's moment with Albert Pujols kind of reminded me of, where everyone knows this could be the last time that he's at an all-star event with a uniform on. You never know with him. And, you know, young and old around Albert Pujols, former teammates. And then a night gets dominated by two of the young stars of the game. With all due respect to the polar bear who got bounced, he got bounced by Julio Rodriguez of your Seattle Mariners. And he's raking. And Juan Soto is raking. And the two of them meet in the final. And it was awesome. Julio Rodriguez of the Seattle Mariners.
Dude,
okay, 14 straight wins the Mariners have. And then this kid shows up and he bombs 32 out. And I'm thinking to myself, look, I know youth serves, and I know kids don't know what they don't know, but, you know, poor Corey Seager, his dad's throwing to him, and Corey Seager's hitting some out, and I think he hit like four of his first five out, five of his first six out, and it wasn't, as you're watching, you're thinking, he's not going fast enough.
Right.
He's not going to have enough.
Like, his dad needs to pick up the pace.
Well, and it's like a leisurely, nice moment between father and son. That's great.
And they made a big deal about the bat he was using. He was using this really heavy and big bat. You could see him choke up on it so he could get some more pop.
But he's not moving fast
enough. But his dad was just like, hey, we're in the backyard. We're playing catch.
It's
some balls.
It's kind of like, you know, and I'm not there yet, but I think, you know, dads of college-age kids, when they show up to college and they start trying to go beer for beer with their kids and their friends, and it's just like you can't. You're not going to be able to keep pace. I mean, you think you got it still, and you know, and all of a sudden you're just like bed spinning, and the other kids are just throwing them back. That's what it felt like to me. He's like, you're good. You still got it. You're terrific.
Yeah,
but you're going against the kid here. And Rodriguez finishes second, and by the way, his prize money for finishing second was $750,000 or $50,000 more than the minimum he's currently making this year. He made more money last night in hitting 81 home runs in his three at-bats than he has and he will all year.
Made sense, though. He wanted to participate.
That's it, right? Exactly.
To supplement that income.
And then Juan Soto gets $1 million for winning, or, in other words, complete chump change of whatever's coming this young man's way.
439 less than what he turned down, I mean, reportedly.
Chump change, like literally couch cushion money for Juan Soto he made last night. I mean, just by the way, 53 home runs, very, very economical. That's all he needed.
Yeah, you know, he went second a bunch of the times.
I understand
times,
that. You're just over. You don't have to go first and just keep cranking him out and setting a number that no one's going to reach. But now it's Juan Soto time, everybody.
Yeah, it was fun.
Now it is Juan Soto time. And now, you know, tonight's game we'll play and we'll have a nice night and Clayton Kershaw on the mound to throw the first pitch of the game. And it's not ceremonial. Everyone, you know, kind of thought that Clayton Kershaw, every year he's got like on a year-to-year plan, and how much longer is he going to be? He is a legitimate starting pitcher of an All-Star game. Legit. Obviously you're going to give the nod if the tie goes to Kershaw when the game's in Los Angeles. But this is a legit start, and it's pretty neat. He's going to get the first pitch thrown in this All-Star game tonight is thrown by Clayton Kershaw. Love it. Great. But once all the dust settles, it's going to be about Juan Soto and where is he winding up. And I don't know what's going on. Whatever All-Star break people may be having, I cannot imagine general managers are taking any time off right now. Like, there are people working phones, or they are working internally. They are Zooming. They're doing whatever they're doing right now to figure out what package can they put together for this kid.
And it's going to be rich.
I mean, basically, look at your farm system. Take a look at your top two prospects, if not top three, and say, vaya con Dios.
Bye-bye.
All the plans that we had for you, we're going to work you in later this year. We're going to work you in 2023. Well, we're looking down the road in 2024. We think you'll be ready by then. If you beat it, our expectations, that'll be great. You know what? We won't pay that guy in 2023 because we've got this kid coming up. Or you know what? That 2024 free agent moment, we don't need that because we've got the kid. All those plans, flush them down the toilet. Every last one of them. Name it. Name a team. Name a team with a ton of money. Name a team with, you know, I don't know. I mean, you got to sit here and think if you're a Major League Baseball owner, even if you're sitting on your nest egg, you know, the Orioles have a big opportunity here, even with this kid. I'm serious.
Well, the Orioles have a lot of good prospects,
but they don't spend money. You know, they haven't spent money. Like, that's, I'm sure Orioles fans are sitting there going, yeah, right, Rich, nice try. Well, why not?
They have five of the top 100 prospects.
Why not?
That gets it done.
Even if you don't spend money, you've got to sit here and think, kid's 23. Even Yankee fans, I know some Yankee fans, and you keep saying it, just try to troll me. Judge is 30. And you want to pay Judge all that money, or do you want to pay all that money plus a little bit more, a little something there, wet your beak a little bit for somebody who's 23?
Yep.
He's 23. And he's incredible. And he is amazing. And he is somebody that, I don't know, does he not want to play in Washington, D.C.? He says he does. Do you have that soundbite, if you don't mind, Mike Hoskins? He says he does. He says, I want to stay. When he turned down $400 million over 15 years, is that what it is?
Well, 440. Let's not shortchange.
Okay, for 15 years?
Yeah.
This is what Juan Soto had to say about the situation.
I've been a national since day one. Why I should want to change? I've been here my whole life and my career. I just feel great where I'm at. And whatever the decision they make, I'm just going to get comfortable in a couple of days. But at the end of the day, like I say, I don't control any of that. I'm just here to play baseball. and play as hard as I can. I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody to tell me how that changed or what was the mindset, but definitely, it's like you say, a couple of weeks ago they were saying they will never train me, and now all these things that came out. Feels really uncomfortable. You don't know what to trust, but at the end of the day, it's out of my hands of what decision they make.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my. I know. I feel it from the right side of this room. Feel it from over there. Feel it from over there. A few years ago, that man over there was a Met fan of the Rich Eisen show. I wouldn't even look in your direction.
No.
Will Pons? What are you, really?
Yeah, you're spend. They're going to spend money?
What are we going to bring Bernie Madoff back from the dead and get your money back? Give it to Juan Soto? Is that what you're going to do? But now, don't call me Bobby Axelrod, who owns the Mets. This is real.
Trying to tell you. I told you that months ago.
Do they have the prospects for it?
All right, so I'm looking at the top 100, right? The Mets have the number 2 overall prospect, catcher, Francisco Alvarez. They have number 20, number 52, number 87. So all four of those guys gone. And then what other current player would you be willing to part with? Two or three guys, maybe, to get Juan Soto.
Because this is what it's going to take. You're going to have to decimate.
Would you give up
all
DeGrom?
Of your farm system plans?
Yeah.
No, Chris. No, DeGrom.
Yeah, Chris. We'll give up Jacob DeGrom for Soto.
I don't think they'd even want him. Honestly.
Every Met fan should say yes. If it's DeGrom and prospects for Soto, yes, 1,000 times.
But why would the
what are you
why
nuts?
But why would
a guy that can't stay healthy?
But why exactly? Happen. Why would the Nationals take somebody who's having trouble staying healthy?
Yeah, I mean,
that's the whole thing.
Because he's trying to put me in the mix.
Done.
I don't know.
Look, I tried to tell you guys 2 or 3 months ago this was going to happen. I don't know. I feel like there's a good chance that he ends up, if it's not this year, then next year.
Juan Soto sweepstakes has begun.
Did you see Starling Marte last night? He was like his personal hype man all night.
Of course.
Marte didn't let him like 4 feet. It was like they were electronically linked together and he couldn't stray from
Well, Marte will look great in Washington, D.C.
Oh, whoa.
I don't know, man. You have no idea.
Whoa, easy.
What's it going to take?
We're trying to win a championship.
If you're the National League, because again, you know what? Then the Phillies will be knocking on the door. Everybody is. If the Yankees are knocking on the door, and you know they have to even.
The Phillies, I don't think, have the prospects.
But everybody's going to knock on the door. Yankees have got to knock on a door. And if the Yankees knock on a door, the Red Sox are knocking on a door. Everybody's knocking on the door. Everybody's got to kick a tire.
Yeah. Yeah, like literally every baseball team has got to make this call. Like Durant, you have to at least.
The Yankees have
check.
5 of the top 72 prospects.
Yeah. But do they have the money? I just gave myself a good laugh. Hey, Hal, you've got the money. You've got it. It's somewhere. We know it. Go over the luxury tax. Who cares? Who cares? Let's just put it this way. The name of my next fantasy team will not be Don't Trade for Soto. It's open.
You had success with that name, though. Sure.
Doors open. Who's going to walk through it? Carl Ravitch will walk through it next on this Rich Eisen show. He called the Home Run Derby last night. We will talk to him about this Soto subject, the Home Run Derby, tonight's All-Star Game, which I'm rooting to finally finish in a tie, because if it finishes tied after 9, there's a Home Run Derby again.
What a great idea.
Great idea. We'll discuss that a little bit more on this program. But Carl Ravitch on what would have been the 57th birthday of our longtime friend and colleague, Stuart Scott. So there'll be lots to discuss with Carl when we come back here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the Terrestrial Radio Network, along with Peacock and Sirius XM Channel 85 and the Odyssey app and our podcast and so much more. I haven't spoken to this man in way too long, and I go back in the day with him, so there's so much to discuss with a man who is the voice of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN and called the Home Run Derby and will be part of the ESPN coverage in advance of tonight's Major League Baseball All-Star Game here in Los Angeles, California. My friend Carl Ravitch on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. How you doing, Ravi? How you been?
I'm good. Richard, how are you doing? Good to speak with you again. It has been a little bit.
It has been a minute, as they say. what was that like in person last night, seeing that, calling it? last night?
So it was different. I would say, having done this for a long time now, and having been through the, you know, the Bryce Harpers and the Todd Frazier's, it was a little different in the fact that Julio Rodriguez dominated the event. He was the only guy that got on those rolls where you kind of see 7, 8, 9 in a row. Nobody else did that. Pujols was a great story, but he was a great story because he's a legend. It wasn't as if he went out there and lit the world on fire. Schwarber and Alonso didn't have good nights. The energy was unique. It's you know, and you can speak to this better than anybody, but there was a different energy than what we have seen in other ballparks. So I thought it was, you know, look, it's always a great event. Rodriguez shined last night. Soto's got all these distractions around him, and he was able to focus. But I would say, relatively speaking, it was probably a little flatter than other derbies we've seen, and through no fault of anybody's, but that's, you're kind of beholden to the participants. And last night, after Rodriguez and Seager, you know, hit what, 55 homers between them in the first round, you're like, right, this is going to be the most amazing home run derby we've ever seen. And it, literally, you were at the top of the roller coaster after those two guys hit, and it kind of steadily went down after that. That was my impression being there.
Before we get to the, serve the youth of the evening, and then obviously Juan Soto's future, immediate and long term, let's talk about the OG in Pujols. What a moment last night. Yeah. I was saying that, you know, obviously there's only one Ted Williams, but when Ted Williams threw out that ceremonial first pitch prior to the 99 All-Star game in Fenway Park, and the all-time team along with the current All-Stars all converged on him, that's what it kind of felt like to see, you know, everyone surrounding Pujols last night after his first AB. That was amazing. What a moment that was, Carl.
That was cool. And we were sitting right there, obviously. We're right off the third baseline on the field. And it started with the Dominican players. I mean, they were the ones that kind of started a trickle effect. And if I'm not mistaken, we went to commercial. We came back, and everybody had gotten up and gone to them on both sides. Yeah, I certainly went back to Fenway Park in 99, and Ted Williams in the golf cart, and Tony Gwynn, and discussing with the All-Stars, do you smell, you know, the smoke coming off your bat when you foul a ball off, et cetera, et cetera. It absolutely had that feel. And the other side of it was, to his credit, you know, Pujols was willing to embrace it. He wasn't sort of brushing it off like, everybody go sit down. He enjoyed the moment. And we've been at ESPN throughout his career. You were certainly there for a great part of it. The machine, you know, has been reduced a little bit in his age, but he's one of the greatest right-handed hitters that we've ever seen and will ever see. And to see the reverence that people like Manny Machado, et cetera, who've been pretty vocal about the lack of attention that he thinks Pujols is getting in his final year, and Miguel Cabrera, that was one of those moments. And that was one of the moments that, when you watched the home run derby last night, that you'll remember, was how everybody, you know, treated Albert Pujols. And I assume tonight they may both get similar treatment, but it was really unique, and it was unscripted. There was no choreography behind it. They realized we should go and surround this guy and salute him. And you saw Soto was the one bowing down to him more than anyone else.
Carl Ravitch, Sunday Night Baseball voice and longtime voice of baseball, and also SportsCenter right here on the Rich Eisen Show on the night of the All-Star game. Juan Soto getting $1 million for winning. That's chump change. It's interesting that Rodriguez made more money last night than he's going to make in his minimum year contract this year. But what is the deal with Soto? Why are he in Washington seemingly on the verge of parting ways here, Carl?
Well, I think it's multifaceted. I think it was a sincere offer. I think that the sale of the Nationals is a big deal. I think any prospective owner coming in would like to make sure that stuff is taken care of. Look, you can look at it from both sides. He's obviously one of the great young players in the game. He's uniquely talented with his ability to recognize strikes and balls. He can elevate the baseball. But baseball, and we know this from years, is not an individual sport. At some point, you can't allow your franchise to have such a percentage of the salary be spent on one guy. And look, he just, given where we are economically, he's going to get $400 or $500 million over whatever length of time this contract goes. But Mike Trout hasn't been in the playoffs, let alone threatened a World Series, and he is the unquestioned best baseball player on the planet. If Soto's a notch down from him, well, how much money do we commit to one player, and who are we going to be able to surround him with? And if we're going to get, you know, what the Marlins got when they let Miguel Cabrera go years ago, and a couple of really good pitchers and major league ready players, well, are we better off? And those are legitimate questions. It was odd. I mean, I don't know what you saw yesterday, but Soto sitting there answering questions and literally kind of lurking over his left shoulder is Scott Boras. Kind of filtering the questions, hearing what people are asking, making sure that Soto is not going to misspeak. That was an interesting look yesterday. So, I see both sides of it. He's still got a year and 2 years left, you know. So, it's unique, and it's unique to baseball that one guy who's 2 years out of free agency is turning down $440 million over 15 years, and for the next 2 weeks, he's the biggest story in baseball, and it's not close.
So what do you think it'll take? We opened the show by saying anybody who's been, you know, planning for the future, as every general manager does in baseball, can take a look at their, what, top two, three prospects and say, vaya con Dios, right? I mean, wouldn't that be it? Or what do you think it would take, at least, to get him?
The comp is Cabrera. I think that was two really good players, and they took on the contract of Dontrell Willis at the same time. It's a hard one to say because I don't think, and I'm not trying to be, you know, avoiding the question here.
Sure.
And I'm not even sure why it got to a place where 2 years removed from free agency, this is even a conversation. We're really going to expedite a deal for Juan Soto, and it appears, according to people that I know Buster Olney has spoken with, even I casually kind of get in the room's feel, said, no, he's going. Like, this is happening in the next 2 weeks. Has to do as much with who's going to own the team as the present. Yeah, I think two or three major league ready players now. Mike Rizzo is really good at his job. He doesn't lose trades, but this is a hard one to judge, and it will take 3 or 4 or 5 years to judge whether they did really well or they got fleeced. But yeah, two, three really major league ready players with a couple of prospects. And if you start to ask, well, who's in position to do that? The Padres, the St. Louis Cardinals. I think the Bonds experience in San Francisco brings them into the picture. I think, look, Julio Rodriguez and where the Mariners are now and where they're going is another possibility. And if I'm Steve Cohen or if I'm the richest owner in baseball, I'm certainly going to my guy Sandy Alderson and saying, look, let's say money isn't a factor, because for me it ain't. How much is it going to cost us to get involved in this Juan Soto thing? And look, Sandy may say, we're not doing that. But DeGrom is coming up for a new contract. Maybe you pivot and you say to Soto and the Nationals, we have these players, and they get a lot of players, and we got an owner, not that this part would be public, but I got an owner who's willing to spend $500 million on this guy. So let's make it happen. The challenge is, this is not in your world. This is not a sign and trade thing. You know, that's the biggest challenge. It's not like the Nationals can say, well, Steve, what are you willing to pay? Well, we'll give him $7 for $500 million. Okay, well, we'll sign him to that, and then we'll make a deal. That's not going to happen. But if I'm Cohen, I'm certainly going to my guys and saying, let's take money out of the equation, which no one ever says, but he has the ability to do it. Let's see what we can work on.
Carl Ravitch here on the Rich Eisen Show. What if you're Brian Cashman, right? You got a team that is on fire. You know, obviously July they've slipped a bit, but still the lead is insurmountable in the division. You got the Astros sitting there right behind you, though, and easily your best shot to win a World Series since 2009. Do you? And I know this is nuts, but do you upset the apple cart for Juan Soto? Do you really do that, or do you just go and target the needs that you have? Get that starting pitcher that I think they definitely need. and an extra bat, but is Juan Soto the extra bat? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Do you really that?
That's why I think, look, we grew up in the George Steinbrenner era.
Of course.
We grew up with it. This is a Yankee wheelhouse move.
No doubt.
When George Steinbrenner owns it, like, all of a sudden, that's the team on top. If Soto's free, the Yankees are going to be in on this. I personally don't think they do that. Like, they got their own $500 million guy that they're trying to nail down.
Yeah, but he's 30, Carl. He's 30. You know what I mean? Like,
there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And look, we all know Yankee Stadium and a left-handed hitter. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things to like about that. But I would fall back on one guy doesn't do it for me. What the Yankees do have, Rich, is they have a whole bunch of prospects. I mean, one thing Cashman's done in the last few years is load up on prospects, including a shortstop there, Volpe, who's terrific. And they got a lot of good players. When it comes to baseball, having watched this stuff, there's two things that kind of upset my apple cart. Every time we get around the draft and trade deadline, you hear organizations saying, we're not trading our prospects, which I never understood, because you were the ones that mined the prospects. You found them. We just finished a draft. There's a lot of prospects. You can find more. I never quite got the team saying, well, we can't give up. Like, he's untouchable. Like, are you kidding me? It's baseball. There's seven more of those guys. We didn't know Juan Soto 10 years ago. We had barely known Julio Rodriguez 2 years ago. How are we doing now? One's the best player in the game, and one dominated the home run derby. So prospects don't scare me to move with regards to a player like Soto. And then the other one is the financial component of it. You know, you have money. All these teams could afford a Juan Soto if they made that decision. That the idea that we can't spend or we don't have the money to do that, you do. And there are different market sizes, but that's a choice you can make. The Colorado Rockies just signed Chris Bryant to a massive deal after not giving Nolan Arenado money. Where did that money come from?
Right.
These teams have it. So, but I don't see the Yankees as a realistic player, but it's a 2-year deal. I mean, you can trade five prospects and you have them for 2 years and you run out of here. You could certainly do that. I don't see that.
Carl Ravitch here on the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, Carl, before I let you go tonight, for tonight's game, it's would have been Stewart's 57th birthday today. And I've got his daughters, Taylor and Sydney, in studio. In hour number two, we're going to have some ice cream and share some memories and talk about his memorial fund that's an association with Jimmy V.
By the way, Stu and I used to stand on the same soccer sidelines when our kids were playing
soccer.
Is
that right? What was that like? What was that like? How is Stewart as a soccer dad? How was he as a soccer?
He was good. Like, I mean, yeah. He was not like Trey Wingo, who you know very well.
Yes.
Was one of those guys when Chappie was playing football or other sports, he would run up and down the sidelines. Stewart was more reserved. He watched with great pride. He loved the athleticism of the girls, but he was less animated than others on the sideline. There was not a lot of booyah for every kick or every group, because at that age, you know, when there are six players on each side and there's 12 around the soccer ball, there's not a lot of booyah going on.
So it wasn't like the Sports Center commercial where he's rejecting the kids coming at the rack on him, right? Where he's yelling at them.
Right. Or yeah, exactly.
he didn't do that one.
There wasn't a lot of when he and Kenny Mayne were trying to motivate somebody to say, no, you don't do it that way. I need some energy out of you. We didn't get a lot of that on the sideline.
What's your memory of doing the shows with Stu, Carl, back in the day?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The memory of doing the shows with a lot of those guys was there was a slight level of awe in watching, you know, Olbermann and Patrick and Stu, because you're kind of looking at individuals. You know this. Everybody is an individual, so everybody's doing their own thing.
Right.
There's great tag team stuff going on, but there's a lot of individual. He was a unique actor, and there's no doubt about that. He was such a wonderful actor. It's like almost watching a play from literally 2 feet away. Like, oh my gosh, look at what this guy's doing. Look at how he does the highlights. I loved watching him. He bent over the desk. He'd hold up the shot sheet.
Yes.
He'd have one eye on the shot sheet. He'd have one eye watching the video. And he was terrific.
I was watching him do that, too. And the things that I would watch him do, Carl, was he would when he would receive the shot sheet. Again, it's for those who may not know, you get paperwork. And it's kind of like line by line they give you. Basically to let you know what the situation is and what the result is and like, hey, it's two men on and it's a three run homer and things like that is he would get the shot sheet in the commercial break, Carl, and then he would know where he could use his catchphrases and he would write them down on the shot sheet. And he would and I just remembered he would always spell out booyah. He would spell out booyah. It was B-O-O-Y-O-W. That's how he would spell it, booyah. That's how he would spell it on his shot sheets. And he would nail it. He would nail it every time, every single time. And you're right. He would bend over because, you know, he had poor eyesight as well.
Right.
You know, and
right.
So and he would always need the lights up. But it was a party, man. Every time. Every single time. Whenever he did it. You know? So he would have been 57 today. Oh, and I had Killer in studio just a couple weeks ago. I had Kilborn here as well. So that's I love that laugh.
Great laugh.
Yep. He would,
hey,
feel good.
Just remember,
yeah.
Bruins Lightning.
Yeah.
You ever remember that uncle who used to kind of ask you to come behind the shed to try the skate? Let's go to the highlights.
That was the lead into Bruins Lightning. That was the lead in.
Oh god, yeah. So we all had that neighborhood and the family that had that rink. And remember when you walked down the street with your skates slung over your shoulder and the hockey stick, and then that guy would say, "Hey, come on over here and let me put your skates on." And the Bruins and the Canadians.
You'll be happy.
There were two obsessions too. There was the randomness. Look, he knows this. Steve Anderson. We're pulling the curtain back.
But go
Steve
for it.
Anderson was in charge of SportsCenter at that point. After about 2 weeks, I walked into Steve Anderson's office and I said, "I'm sorry, I don't get any of this. And I can't do this. None of this is making sense." He's got this Spud Webb obsession. There's a Pooh Richardson thing going on here. I'm used to working with people who seem to take this sport thing a little more seriously. And to his wonderful credit, Steve Anderson said, "Carl, I hear you. Be patient." And in about a month, I was the straight man to his comedic act, and it really worked really, really well.
It sure did, man.
I give Steve Anderson credit. Because that was a foreign language he was speaking.
It's still, just so you're aware, he still has a Minnesota Timberwolves fixation, in case you're wondering. And then on occasion, he would glance at the screen and worry that the pants color that he was wearing was not being accurately portrayed by the color on the screen. He was concerned about that. He's concerned that the pants was coming across as too gold.
He would sit in his cubicle and he would talk to himself, and the mirror was his best friend. He's a beautiful person.
Still is.
Oh man.
I mean, it's just. Oh, poo. I'm sorry for digressing.
Not at all. This is great.
A great time in our lives when
it was.
When SportsCenter was such a. Such an appointment viewing show, and you and he and Stu and Keith and Dan were all major faces and parts of that.
Amazing. Yeah, Stuart, again, would have been 57 today. I just figured I'd go stroll down memory lane with you. Great to listen to you. I really enjoy you and the rest of the crew on Sunday nights, and I look forward to the second half of the season. Let's do this again as we get closer to the playoffs. Carl, thanks for the time.
Let's do it. Thanks, Rich. Great to be on with you, buddy.
Right back at you. Enjoy tonight's All-Star game. Carl Ravitch. I just mentioned Kilborn's name and he starts giggling.
I feel like there were so many more stories Carl wanted to tell.
Oh, baby.
Also, just like, I don't get it.
He's got a Spud Webb fixation.
I don't get it.
He's got a Spud Webb fixation.
And there's a poo thing going poo on. Thing going on.
Come behind my shed. Let me tie your skates for you.
We'll take a break. That literally was his hockey lead-ins, because he didn't really care much about hockey. But ESPN at the time, as it is now, once again, was the hockey. Home of NHL
Rich, NHL
broadcast
tonight.
Tonight. No, no, Bill Pito. Billy Pito. Billy Pito used to host it.
Which is weird. He's from Minnesota and just didn't care about hockey.
I know, he doesn't care about hockey. Great.
All right, phone calls when we come back. Hour number two of the program. Taylor and Sydney Scott, Stu's daughters, will be here, and that'll be a great memory lane stroll then as well. Back here on our Rich Eisen Show live feed here on Peacock, joined with our terrestrial radio outfit and everyone else. Rogue ST Driver, please try these out. I can personally attest that they make you feel more confident on the tee, and they are absolutely the best drivers that Callaway's ever put in my hand. The Rogue ST drivers, speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Engineered with a new tungsten speed cartridge, gives you more speed on off-center hits, provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. That's the science of it. But I'll tell you what, again, you just stand over the ball in the tee box, and you think, like, I can just hit this a ton. And it makes me feel more consistent. And then there's the science behind it. It's great.
The science is just about confidence, though. Like, you have this in your hand, you're like, yes, I'm hitting the fairway, and it's going to be right down the middle, and it's all going to be good from here.
I try the Max. I haven't tried the Rogue ST Diamond, Triple Diamond LS, because that's what the tour players love, and I'm not one of them. I just say the Saudis haven't reached out to me.
Hey, now.
Okay? Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver, one for you. There's definitely one for your game. Go to callawaygolf.com/go Rogue. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Nick Saban has spoken, and we're going to be seeking out those sound bites for you. Let's go to our friend Terzo in Iowa. All rise. What's up, Terzo? How are you?
Yo, what's up, Rich? Happy to have you back, man. Terzo. Missed you last week, but sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. What's going on your mind, man? What's going on?
Hey, so I love the interview with Fred Warner yesterday. That was great. I got a little bit of a prediction for the 49ers win-loss total. I was going to run that past you, and then also maybe try to make a fun little wager with you. If I'm able to hit the over, maybe you send me out that second best cup that you got from Better Call Saul yesterday. That was cracking me up yesterday.
Okay. As you know, Terzo, being a National Football League employee, I frown upon everything that you've just said. Just for the sake though of what do you have in mind? What are you trying to rope me into that could void my contract? What's going on?
My thought would be to go over the 49ers win loss. I think they're going to be 13-4.
Oh my goodness. God! All right, I need NFL Films music. NFL Films music from you, Mike Del Tufo, from you, Mike Hoskins. I need the San Francisco 49ers schedule. There it is on the screen. Terzo, I will walk you through it, unless you've got it in front of you. Do you have it in front of you?
I got it in front of me as well. Right?
Week one. Make a statement. Hold on a second. Not have it in front of you.
I guess so. All right. Let me open up to the appropriate page. Yes. Hold on. Let me open up to the appropriate page here in my booklet. This will be in the book now for the rest of the season, Terzo. Here we go.
I'm in for it.
Terzo from Iowa. Yes, right. Counselor, you have the floor. Let's go. Week one at Chicago.
They beat Chicago.
That's a win. Home. Wait, I'll walk you through it. Home for Seattle. Week two.
Beat Seattle.
At the Denver Broncos. Week three.
Beat Denver. Get a little revenge on Russell.
That's 3-0. Home for the Rams. As you know, the Niners have had the Rams number in the regular season lately. What do you have for me?
So I waffled on this one, but I think they take the L.
That's an L. They're 3-1. At Carolina. Week five.
Beat Carolina.
That's 4-1. At the Falcons. Week six.
Beat Atlanta.
Home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Week seven.
Lose to KC.
Okay, at the Rams now. At the Rams. How about that? The Niners and the Rams are done before week.
Wow.
Nine. Okay,
that's a Christmas.
What do you got for me? At the Rams.
They beat the Rams on the road.
Okay, so they split in each other's house. Interesting. All right, so then they hit the bye at 6-2. Week 10. What do you got for me, Terzo? What do you got? Home for the Chargers. You beat them? Okay, home for the they're in Mexico City against the Cardinals, week 11. What do you got?
We win against the Cardinals.
Home for the Saints, week 12.
Kyler Murray's hurt.
Home for interesting piece of information. That's breaking news. All right, we got to go fast here. Home for the Saints, week 12.
Beat them.
Home for the Dolphins, week 13.
beat Miami.
Home for Tom Brady, week 14.
Lose to Tom Brady.
At the Seahawks on a Thursday night, short game, quick trip. What do you got?
Win.
Home for the
Win.
Washington Commanders on the Saturday, on the Christmas Eve. What do you got?
Win.
New Year's Day at the Raiders.
Lost to the Raiders.
And then home for the Cardinals to finish things up.
Week sweep the Cardinals.
That's 13-4.
Woof.
Thank you, Terzo. That's now in the book. I'm not going to bet you a damn thing.
Thank you,
guys. Thank you for the call.
I love it.
Yes, thank you. Things more important than wagering with Terzo.
13-4.
Oh my gosh!
No. Well, the Rams are going to go 14.
Now I expect him to get obliterated here.
Trey Lance,
he's get
my
destroyed.
God.
Trey Lance, I believe in Trey Lance.
You do, Rich. San Francisco,
Terzo in Iowa, 13-4. Win loss game. That's gonna be the first win loss game we got from one of our fans. Well,
I admire the gumption.
I mean,
Taylor and Sydney Scott, Stu's daughters, coming up in studio.
All right, you interested what the desert thinks?
Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
Sure. The desert thinks that. Well, let me guess what the desert thinks. The desert thinks
win total for the 49ers according to the desert
and
last updated today.
Okay, I will say they've got because they give it in like half increments, right? Isn't that what they
yes.
do?
Yes.
I will say it's 9.5.
Well done, Rich Ooh. Eisen. 9.5.
There you go
for the desert.
The crazy thing would be is if it was Jimmy Garoppolo, would it be like 10.5?
No, it'd be the same. 9.5.
9.5.
Be the same.
This is the team that almost made the Super Bowl
last
year.
They were like
year.
A couple plays
but they only
away
won
from
10 games last year.
Trey Lance.
They only won 10 games last
gonna
year.
He's going to be
guys.
A problem for defenses. He is big, he is strong, and all he's got to do is know his playbook, be confident, see it, and rip it. And then all this mesh point stuff, no one's going to know who's got it. And he's going to then jam it down people's throats. The red zone offense is going to be vastly improved.
The confidence, but yeah, we have 10 years of Russell Wilson. You're like, I don't know. Oh, I got to see it.
He's in a new spot, new coach, new teammates. That's why.
Also, there's a guy who's never been a starter and hasn't played in 2 years.
I got it. I know it sounds weird.
It's crazy.
I know it sounds weird. I have talked myself. I have boxed myself in. There is no way out. It is totally. I am Kevin Costner and Sean Young rolled into one right now. It's an old school pop culture reference.
Are you in a limo?
I was kidding.
There's no way out. I honestly, I boxed myself in.
Wins. How many teams win 13 games this year, do you think?
Three.
Like two. Yeah, two or
two
three.
Two or three.
I know. And he's chosen the
and
Niners.
And the Niners are going to be one of them?
I don't know about that. Because there's going to be the downs for the Lance.
Right.
There will be. Yeah,
there's going to be a weird
over
loss
under,
in there.
Over under. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Here's another over under for you. Over under 2.5. Number of times the national media will wring their hands about Trey Lance this year.
Oh, well, way over. I mean,
you're taking the way over?
It's going to be a hot topic all year. One bad game. Should they have let Jimmy G go?
They'll be like, what, a two-game losing streak?
Is it too late to bring Jimmy G back?
False. That's nutty. I'm taking the under. I'm all the way in.
Get ready.
And there's no way out.
Rhymes with drip payless.
I am all the way in. Nice. Good one.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.